hesitations and misgivings. The materialist does not believe in the existence of the spirit self, and empiric philosophers believe in the impersonal feature of the whole spirit without individuality of the living beings. But the transcendentalists affirm that the soul and the supersoul are two different identities, qualitatively one but quantitatively different. There are many other theories, but all these different speculations are at once cleared off as soon as Sri Krishna is realized, in truth, by the process of bhakti yoga. Sri Krishna is like the sun, and the materialistic speculations about the absolute truth are like the darkest midnight. As soon as the Krishna sun is arisen within one's heart, the darkness of materialistic speculations about the absolute truth and the living beings is at once cleared off. In the presence of the sun, the darkness cannot stand, and in the relative truths that were hidden within the dense darkness of ignorance become clearly manifested by the mercy of Krishna, who is residing in everyone's heart as the Supersoul. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that in order to show special favor to his pure devotees, he personally eradicates the dense darkness of all misgivings by switching on the light of pure knowledge within the heart of a devotee. Therefore, because of the personality of Godhead's taking charge of illuminating the heart of his devotee, certainly a devotee engaged in his service in transcendental love cannot remain in darkness. He comes to know everything of the absolute and the relative truths. The devotee cannot remain in darkness, and because a devotee is enlightened by the personality of Godhead, his knowledge is certainly perfect. This is not the case for those who speculate on the absolute truth by dint of their own limited power of approach. Perfect knowledge is called parampara, or deductive knowledge coming down from the authority to the submissive oral receiver who is bona fide by service and surrender. One cannot challenge the authority of the Supreme and know him also at the same time. He reserves the right of not being exposed to such a challenging spirit of an insignificant spark of the whole, a spark subjected to the control of illusory energy. The devotees are submissive, and therefore the transcendental knowledge descends from the personality of Godhead to Brahma, and from Brahma to his sons and disciples in succession. This process is helped by the Supersoul within such devotees. That is the perfect way of learning transcendental knowledge. This enlightenment perfectly enables the devotees to distinguish spirit from matter, because the knot of spirit and matter is untied by the Lord. This knot is called ahankara, and it falsely obliges a living being to become identified with matter. As soon as this knot of false ego is loosened, therefore, all the clouds of doubt are at once cleared off. One sees his master and fully engages himself in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, making a full termination of the chain of fruitive action. In material existence, a living being creates his own chain of fruitive work and enjoys the good and bad effects of those actions, life after life. But as soon as he engages himself in the loving service of the Lord, he at once becomes free from the chain of karma. His actions no longer create any reaction. Here the wonderful mysteries of bhakti are explained. From the purport to this verse, the Prabhupada really explains what it means that the knot in the heart is pierced. We can learn the most. Here, Prabhupada explains very nicely how enlightenment in Krishna consciousness is almost something like, you can call it, passive enlightenment. Passive in the sense that it's not you who works on it, but it's the Lord who is satisfied by the sincere devotional service of his servants. The Lord is taking care of the enlightenment of his devotee, almost as someone who is maybe like if he would now be in a dark room, Bhaktalabhya could switch on the switch, and all of a sudden the electric light would be everywhere in this room. We may not know where the switch is because we don't live here, but Bhaktalabhya or his wife or his son, they would know, here's the switch, and they switch it on. In the same way, the Lord switches on in our heart the knowledge by which the ignorance is destroyed. Lord Krishna explains this in the Bhagavad Gita. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadhami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayanti te. There's another shloka which expresses a similar thing. Prabhupada here talks about this switching on process. He says, the Lord says in the Gita that in order to show special favor to his pure devotees, he personally eradicates the dense darkness of all misgivings. This means like doubts. He personally removes these doubts by switching on the light of pure knowledge. Switch within the heart of a devotee. Therefore, because of the personality of Godhead taking charge of illuminating the heart of his devotee, certainly a devotee engaged in his service in transcendental love cannot remain in darkness. How wonderful. We are sometimes so worried. Will I know my spiritual identity? Will I know my relationship to Radha and Krishna? Will I know these things? Then we become worried. I must read this book or that book, or hear this or hear that. But here the process is quite differently explained. It's that you will be told by Lord Krishna in the heart, who becomes satisfied by your sincere surrender and service. I really believe that here you find, as far as practical spiritual theology is concerned, a great difference to those who are faithful to the teachings of the Bhagavatam and those who have other emphases in their spiritual life. I'm not saying they are not faithful, but they may have a different emphasis, a different basis from where they get the knowledge. So Lord Krishna is the active liberator of his devotee. He takes the work. I thought I would take this verse today and bring it to your attention, because today we want to talk a little bit on Ratha Yatra. When we are in the when we think a little bit about the wonder of Ratha Yatra, we also have to acknowledge that Lord Jagannath takes a lot initiative. Bhima Prabhu, in his little lecture yesterday on the marketplace, expressed this very wonderfully. And I also, after his lecture, began to look how Lord Jagannath moved in different ways to give people his mercy. You know, he was active and the people were passive. Some of them were coming and looking at him. Some were standing in the shadow of the balustrades, I think it's called, you know, on the left side from the stage, you know, like the shaded areas. And their foot were tapping, they were swinging back and forth, especially when they saw you all dancing so so delightfully, so artistically and aesthetically, and also sometimes wildly. they were getting the mercy of Lord Jagannath. They were looking, who is the center of all of this? Who is behind all of this? And especially when Bal Krishna moved the chariot in such a way that the Lord was facing the town a little bit more. Then they were all looking, Prabhupada once commented on this in relationship to Lord Jagannath. He asked the question, why is all this, where is all this noise about? There's only wood, a wooden cart, some wooden figures. It's all, Prabhupada says, it's a wooden affair. Eine hölzerne Angelegenheit in German. It's a wooden affair. How would we say wooden affair in Italian? Yes. All wood. What? Why so much dancing? Haribo, Jai Jagannath. Prabhupada explained, no, he said. The wood is a carrier of the spirit of potency. What this means is that Lord Jagannath gives the Kripa Shakti, this spiritual energy which we all need. He brings the wind of mercy which will move us on spiritual life. Now I would like to narrate today a little bit about Lord Jagannath's festival. I also have brought for you some document of the FBI, which I want to read. The FBI of 500 years back, there was a espionage of the devotees of Lord Jagannath, Spionsky, what is this? A spy. And you will hear some new things, and some things which will make your ears shake. I think we all know Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's deep transcendental love for Lord Jagannath. And when Lord Jagannath had his yearly bathing ceremony, he caught again a cold and was removed from his altar to a special place in the temple. For 15 days, Lord Chaitanya suffered the separation from his Lord, and he went out of Puri. He couldn't tolerate it any longer in Puri, and went to the town of Alalanad, which is about, I would say Rohini Sutta, but maybe 15 kilometers from Jagannath Puri. 15-20, something like this. Because he just couldn't stand to stay in the place where his beloved Lord Jagannath was not visible. I don't know if you ever have been lovesick. You can't go to the town where your old love is residing and now no longer visible for you. So Lord Chaitanya was really in some ways suffering separation from Lord Jagannath and couldn't tolerate to stay in Puri. His separation created an intense fire of separation, which was so hot. Now please imagine this, that when he sometimes fell down in Alalanath on the stone floor, his body melted the stone so that it became little puddles of stone. You know, even today we can go there and we can see the stone where Lord Chaitanya's long body landed, and which was melted by the heat of his separation. Very, very, very wonderful to see this. Wonderful to see that the Lord's body really is transcendental. I mean, how can a body create? How much Celsius must this be to when the stones start to melt? Maybe 1,000 degrees or Celsius?
More?
Much more? 5,000? 3,000-4,000 degrees Celsius in the body. This is clear that this body cannot be a transcendental body, because our body starts to go out of function when we are 40 degrees, you know, not 4,000, you know. So after 15 days he returned to the festival of Netrotsava. Netrotsava means the festival of the eyes, because now it was possible again to see the Lord on his altar. He had been freshly decorated and painted, and Lord Chaitanya came there on the early morning of the Nava Yovana day, the day where the fresh youth of the Lord was visible. His eyes are described, were like little bumblebees. Bumblebees are a little big, actually, this size, and they go, and they were going to the lotus eyes of Lord Jagannath, just like bumblebees will circle around a lotus flower. His eyes, they're just seeing the Lord, circling around the Lord. Huh? The Lord's beauty was really conquered the beauty of blossoming lotus flower. The day Rachel has gotten a Swiss magnolia. You can see Prabhupada's lotus feet. It looks very beautiful, very decorated. Thank you very much, Rachel, for cutting this flower. Is that you? Or?
Huh?
The garland. The
This
Thank you very much for your devotional surrender. Already this flower looks very impressive to our eyes, but Lord Jagannath's lotus eyes. Lord Chaitanya could not get his eyes away, and his whole body actually had many lotuses, the navel, the feet, his beautiful hands, wonderful. His neck looked very lustrous, it looked like mirrors, fresh mirrors, where light came in, it was gleaming. His chin looked like a beautiful banduli flower. Banduli flower looks also very attractive and smells extremely beautiful. So from that day of Navayovanam, Lord Chaitanya was just standing before the Lord and was helplessly swimming in the ocean of his beauty. On that day, the cooks in the kitchen of the Puri temple cooked doubly as much as they usually cooked, because on the next day would be the Ratha Yatra festival of the Lord. And many devotees would come and would need prasadam. Many jaigopals came with hungry, fiery stomachs. So the next day, the Ratha Yatra day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates took an early shower, it was still dark, and went to the temple to observe the Pandu Vijaya ceremony. I have heard that Rohini Sudha Prabhu has been there, and maybe towards the end of the lecture we will request him to say a little bit about this ceremony, how the Lord comes out of the temple. Have you seen films, maybe movies? The Lord is very big and he's carried, and he has this crown and he's moving back and forth. He's really sometimes he's really moving like this. Sometimes, why is he moving like this and not right? Majesty should move, because he is actually extremely drunken with happiness. When you're drunken, you cannot move very straight. He's drunken with happiness because he is on a love journey. He is wanting to go to Gunicha, which represents Vrindavan, where he will meet his beloved devotees. And so he's very much drunken, and he moves, and everyone is so excited. I've only seen it on the movie, and I've heard it from Rohini Sudha Prabhu in Berlin, I think he said. And he told us his impression. It seems to be extremely exciting, isn't it? It's really exciting. It's sehr aufregend. You know, your emotions are stirred, and then they bang and they all at once in the proper rhythm, and the gongs, they're really moving. You must see either Best is Life when you are there, or Second Best is a movie. There are movies now available on this. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we can just imagine how he must have looked. There is a painting which was done by a disciple of Rakeshwara Pandit, was commissioned by a king, and you can get a little idea how Lord Chaitanya must have looked. He was a very tall sannyasi. Please look here. I will use this index finger. Very tall. Very, very beautiful. And his beauty was very much enhanced by his very ecstatic bhavas in his heart. He would now accompany the Lord to Vrindavan, and he would come into the mood of Srimati Radharani, who was so joyful that her Lord would come back to Braj. Imagine, he was, tears were coming from his beautiful eyes. He was really moving with his associates. Kashi Mishra went in the front, Govinda was in the back, and on the sides were Advaita Acharya, Swarup Damoda. He had his transcendental party, you know. It really looked impressive when these personalities were there. He came just in time when the powerful Daitas carried the Lord on his chariot. What means Daita? I think we all have heard the word Daya. Daya, what does this mean? Daya, not mercy. Yes, mercy. It means mercy. In Italian language, we say mercy is
misericordia.
Yeah, mercy. See, misericordia. Daitas, these were actually pig sellers. Have you seen in India? They have maybe 10 pigs, and they go and they wait until the pig has eaten his preparations, which we will not mention, before breakfast. And then they sometimes shave the pigs, and the pig hair is used for toothbrush. Don't buy an Indian toothbrush. It's useful for some articles. Later the skin is taken for. But they come from Shabaras. Shabaras is a. But they were very strong, because to lift the Lord of the universe, not at all. I mean, some strength is necessary. But Daita means one who has received the mercy of the Lord. I think we should all be called Daita, you know. Sashinandan, Daita, Jai Gopal, Daita, you know. Dao, Daita. You know, we are all mercy of the Lord has come without our qualification. They were as powerful as drunken elephants. They were so strong, but still, when they moved the Lord from one cushion to the next, the cushions, they are called tulis, they sometimes exploded. Bang! And a big noise was heard, which was louder than the gongs. Bang! And the cotton, which was inside these tulis, broke. Because the Lord is always most strong who can carry him. The Lord, as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he saw this beautiful scene, the Daita sweating to carry the Lord, the tulis exploding like bombs, and the cotton floating in the air, he would call with great ecstasy, Manima!
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 That means, oh great personality. Oh great personality of my heart. He would shout like this. At that time, Maharaj Pratapa Rudra came with a golden broom. Yesterday, Rohini Sudha Prabhu was representing not only the mayor or the president of Switzerland, I think it's the Nationalrat, the National Council of Switzerland. Nationalrat, we still have this as a governing people.
Bundesrat.
And he was representing them, and the mayor, and Maharaj Pratapa Rudra. Maharaj Pratapa Rudra did this, and with this service, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased. Now, during this time, Maharaj Pratapa Rudra's kingdom, I would like you to become a little aware of Maharaj Pratapa Rudra, extended from the Ganga, which flows through Bengal, down to Karnataka, that is very much into the south. And obviously such a big king was always, he moved in a political field and more so in a devotional field. There were spies from the kingdom of Vijayanagara, who were employed by the emperor of Vijayanagar. Yes, Vijayanagar. And the spy would bring back news about Maharaj Prataparudra, this great king who became the most humble of all devotees to get the mercy of Lord Jagannath. He would hear. Would you like to hear the spy information about Maharaj Prataparudra? The Gajapati king gets up from bed early in the morning, 2 hours before sunrise. And before he looks at anyone, he will first pay his obeisances to two brahmanas. Doesn't look at anyone of his ministers. He just wants to look at two good brahmanas. Then the 16 patras are informed. These are his 16 brahminical counselors who give him advice. And they all go to the horses and they go on a ride for 36 miles. It's a long ride, in other words, where they discuss spiritual subject matters. Would you like to be on such a horse next to Maharaj Prataparudra? It would be amazing, you know. 20 or 30 miles. Then they return to the palace. Then Prataparudra takes a bath, and then he goes and serves Lord Jagannath. It's not specified what he did, but he goes and performs menial service to Lord Jagannath. And then this whole schedule goes up to midday. He doesn't do any ruling up to midday. He's a king. King means a busy person. He's busy with the Lord up to the midday. Then he takes food, and now normally we go to bed when we take food. But he, Maharaj Prataparudra, doesn't take a nickerchen, a nap. Maharaj Prataparudra will recite the Ramayana for digestion. he reads the Ramayana. Isn't this wonderful? Then he puts on the official robes bedecked with jewels, and he sits in the court and transacts his daily business. But my dear devotees, just note, he is maybe the most powerful emperor. It's not like modern day Orissa, which is very small. He is a huge kingdom. He was also the one who commissioned this painting, which later we will give to Ramananda Prabhu, and he will show it to you. You can see it. You know, this is showing what went on. Skadadha Pandit, who gave his Bhagavatam reading, and Chaitanya Nityananda are there, and all the associates are there. And do you know where Maharaj Prataparudra is on this painting? Anubhava? The one paying Dandavats. Do you see him? He was the one who ordered or paid this picture. But he wants to be known as the Dandavat man. Now, these two? Tell me, you see? That's wonderful. Maharaj Prataparudra ki
jai!
He is no one else than the King Indra Dyumna. Actually, if you want, we can show it around, but please don't start looking through the back to God and reading it during the lecture. Just look at the picture so that you get an idea how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu looked and so on. It's an original painting. It was done at that time. You know, it's really, here you find how he really looked. So by the humility of Maharaj Prataparudra, he attracted the special mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and of Lord Jagannath, and finally he was allowed to have his heart's desire fulfilled. I want to go now a little fast with you through a description of the festival. I hear Rohini Sudha Prabhu has given such a description last year already, so I will just go very quick, but this means you have to give me your full cooperation and just be very attentive. It's described, this will be very interesting for our Bal Krishna Prabhu, that the cart on which Lord Jagannath resided was as high as the mountain Sumeru. And Bal Krishna Prabhu, there were bright mirrors on the card, Spiegel. I think it is very clear to everyone why there were mirrors, because when the sunlight falls into the mirrors, it becomes reflected and it really looks amazing and interesting here. Then there were chamaras hanging around, and then there were flags. This is what I would suggest Bal Krishna Prabhu to do. Some cheap flags for the devotees. The procession looks so much more colorful when you have flags. You know, it really, no one can avoid looking at the flags. You know. Then there were brass bells on the cart. Brass bell, clink, clink, clink. Even I think because we are poor, we cannot afford much, but maybe one brass bell to start with. Then there were gongs, and there were all kinds of anchor bells, so that it made some sound. When the Lord comes, there should be some sound in the cart. Especially this bell sound, anchor bells. You know, when the devotee realizes Lord Krishna, he hears the sound of Lord Krishna's dhoti as Krishna walks towards him, and he hears the sound of the anchor bells. You know, sound is very important when it comes to Krishna realization. So the Lord now, it is said the road was sprinkled with rose water, and there was white sand on the road to make it resemble like the banks of the river Yamuna. Left and right there were well-kept gardens, and then the Lord started his kirtans. Now we have a few kirtaniyas here. I do not know, Chitra, how is our, you have formed such a wonderful band in Zurich. Does it have a name? Or so you should think of a name. It's important. Names are very, very. So you like very much kirtans, and we do very often nam kirtans in Zurich, and this evening we also will do. So please, you join us. You come with us to Zurich. Why not? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally gave garlands to all the devotees, and he personally, with his own transcendental hand, smeared their bodies with cenobite, because in just a few minutes they would become very hot from dancing very ecstatically. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu divided the devotees into seven groups. Four groups were right before the Jagannath cart and performed sankirtan. And two groups were on the sides, one group on one side near the wheels, and one group had the Nachhut gebildet, was in the back. And these groups were just very, very special. There was always a chief singer, and he had the dancer. There was a dancer. Dancing is a very important part of our culture. Never stop dancing. It's very important for the expression of your devotion to Krishna. Dancing is a voluntary form of expressing your affection to Lord Krishna. In Shiva's party, there was, you want to know the dancers, just for information, Advaita Acharya. Another dancer was, this must have been fantastic, Lord Nityananda. It's described when anyone saw the dancing of the Lord, he would never ever be able to forget the dancing of the Lord. It was just really, please understand, dancing is not a gymnastical thing, it's an expression of devotion. Now imagine how much devotion Lord Nitya has. It was just, everyone was bathed in devotion. It was a visible manifestation of devotion. Another dancer was Haridas, and of course, who can identify the last? Who is Lord Chaitanya's favorite dancer? Gauranga Priya knows the answer. Rakeshwara Pandit. Yes. Thank you very much, Gauranga Priya, for helping us in this important search. Rakeshwara Pandit. Lord Chaitanya would say that if he would have another Rakeshwara, he could fly in the kirtan. But he flew. He flew also with one. He said, Vakishvara is one arm, one wing. Lord Chaitanya sometimes jumped so high in the kirtan. When he came back on the ground, it shook. And then again. This is how the Lord danced. He would personally dance, and one dancing was not enough for him. He multiplied in seven forms, and in each party he began to dance very nicely. His dancing became so wonderful that Lord Jagannath stopped his car to see all this. He turned around. Everywhere Lord Chaitanya was dancing and dancing and dancing and dancing. Sometimes he would, his forms would all become one, and the groups would be around him, and then all the crowd did not have any eyes any longer for Lord Jagannath. They all looked at Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and became they rushed towards Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and protection was necessary. Security. One ring, there were three rings of protection. I've written down somewhere. Three circles of protection. We will give now our full support to Jai Gopal, who has fallen asleep the third time. Wenn du müde wärst, kannst du ja daran riechen. Ja. Oder die Nase kitzeln. Aber nicht schlafen. Das ist doch so nice, Jai Gopal. So the first ring of protection, or circle of protection, was guarded by no one else than Nityananda. The second ring was protected by the Leibdiener of Lord Chaitanya, Kashishvara Pandit and Govinda. And the third ring was guarded by our most humble servant, Prabhupada Rudra Maharaj. And we hear how Prabhupada Rudra was straining to see Lord Chaitanya's dancing. So his general, Harish Chandra, who has fought so many battles, you can't believe. This man was powerful. He wanted to take the devotee who was before Maharaj Prataparudra a little bit to the side so that Prataparudra could see clearly. But all of a sudden, this particular devotee, who always felt Harishchandra's hand moving him to the side, just turned around and gave a slap to Harishchandra. This devotee was no one else than Srivas Pandit. Now, this is the one thing which you absolutely cannot do to a Kshatriya. to slap him right into the... I mean, it was really... He was really getting... then he went... because he wanted to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Harishchandra was just getting ready to crack his head off or do something. And Prataparudra stopped him. He said, "No, you are very fortunate. You are personally slapped by a dear associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I would give everything to be slapped by an associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." So he stopped Harishchandra, who didn't understand things very properly. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would dance and dance. This was something, you know. He was crying in ecstasy. It is described by eyewitnesses that the water was coming out like from a syringe. You know, he was coming like this. And the earth was becoming all muddy, and he rolled on the floor, and he became all black from the dust on the floor. He looked like Lord Jagannath himself, and he was crying and chanting verses, and because he was so happy that finally the Lord was returning where he really belonged. Our Lord is a cowherd boy in Vrindavan. He is not a resident of a palace. He is meant for the forest. And the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took this journey as the most expected, most desired, most coveted desire of Srimati Radharani, that may Lord Krishna return and play his flute again on the banks of the Yamuna. Yes, so Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at that time sang a mundane song. From the Kavya Shastra, it's a poetical verse which, you know, you are in celibacy, but I don't know how detailed I can explain to you this verse. It's sung by a woman who has become bored in her marriage life. Her husband is really not what she knew her husband, and the relationship is dry, and she just thinks of how nice it was when we met in secret as young lovers in a little straw hut on a river. And you know what young boys and girls do when they meet in secret in the night, when the moon is on, you know. And she was thinking of this, how nice our love was at that time. And you know, it's almost as if I would start to sing a Rolling Stones song, you know, "Gimme Shelter," ooh, a storm is what threat, a storm is brewing, threatening my very life. Gimme, gimme shelter. You know, you would think, oh, this is too much. Now Sachinanda Swami has gone over the border. We knew he's too much. But Lord Chaitanya meant something else. He meant something else. He was meet thinking. He was thinking, oh, my dear Lord, when you were at the Yamuna, in the flower gardens of Vrindavan, and you called me by your flute, I wish to see you in this atmosphere. This is Radharani's expression to Lord Krishna when she meets him on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, surrounded with elephants, with military, with big tents and so on. Radharani does not like to see the Lord like this. He wants to see the Lord in Vrindavan. Mm-hmm. So Lord Chaitanya was singing this. Hare Krishna. He was singing this. And now we will come quickly to the end. When Lord Jagannath when Krishna heard this beautiful song of Srimati Radharani in Kurukshetra, he responded saying, I'm always in Vrindavan. Ordinary people live in their minds, and the minds are everywhere, but my mind is only Vrindavan. I only can think of the gopis in Vrindavan. I live there. I live in this field. That's my reality. And Lord Jagannath responded on the Ratha Yatra festival very lovingly. And sometimes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would move behind the cart to see if Lord Jagannath would move, but Lord Jagannath couldn't move. He wanted to see Lord Chaitanya before him, guiding the way to Vrindavan. So the cart stopped. Lord Chaitanya danced before the cart, and in this way continued the beautiful journey. So on. Finally, they came to a place called Baladangi. In Baladangi, all the queens of Maharaj Prataparudra and the family offered foodstuffs. Maharaj Prataparudra has 4 queens and 32 sons. King? They all, the family member was also serving. Then other people came, offered their foods to the Lord, and then the Lord at that time took a rest in the gardens. We all know Maharaj Prataparudra, who had just finished the offering, he wanted so much to see the Lord. And the devotees had arranged that he would see him finally in the garden when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took a rest. The scheme was to dress up Maharaj Prataparudra in simple devotee cloth, not king cloth. He had a simple dhoti on, simple shada on, and very fearfully, because he had been rejected so many times from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he approached the lotus feet of the Lord and began to massage him. And while he was massaging the lotus feet of the Lord, he did a very important service, which the very intimate associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did. He recited verses to help the Lord increase his loving mood. He sang the verses of the Gopi Gita. He came to one particular verse which I would like to sing with you. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this particular verse, which describes on one level the preachers of Krishna consciousness, or those who talk about Krishna and who fulfill the greatest need of people by giving them Krishna consciousness. That's one level of the verse. There's another level as well. When he heard this verse from the lips of Maharaj Prataparudra, his behavior changed. Just a little while ago, maybe an hour ago, Lord Chaitanya had danced at Baladangi so much so that he had lost his consciousness and had fallen on the floor. That time Maharaj Prataparudra came in order to help the Lord to get up again, but when he touched Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu awoke and said, "Go, go! I don't want to have anything to do with the king." Now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu jumped up. He embraced the king. He said, "Who are you? You are the greatest welfare worker. Who are you?" Prataparudra was quivering in ecstasy in the embrace of the Lord. Tears were floating down his eyes, and he said, "I'm your most humble servant." This way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu blessed, finally fully blessed, Prataparudra Maharaj, who got the full mercy. Who can understand the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who finds ways and means to bless everyone? All this was arranged by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like a puppeteer who arranges the puppet play and who plays the play himself. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu enacted a divine pastime of showing mercy to the king, and to everyone who saw the card of Lord Jagannath and who was ready, who was participating in the festival. I think you understand already, but I'm just saying it to make sure that you fully understand. This Ratha Yatra festival is extremely full of devotional secrets. Prabhupada once called it a feeling festival, a festival of feeling. So we really want to congratulate our Bala Krishna Prabhu for organizing these festivals, and we want to greatly thank our Rohini Sutta Prabhu, who has made this, who has implanted this desire in Bala Krishna Prabhu. He always talks. He's a great Ratha Yatra lover. When you visit Rohini Sutta Prabhu at home, you see three Ratha Yatra cards. That's how devotees will always say. Yeah?